Hello. So today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, and page 970 in your Bibles. Okay. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you, and you will pray. Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Sorry about the confusion at the start.
This reading is taken from Matthew. Chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, and it can be found on page 971. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
I did wonder whether I would ever be asked to come back to preach here again. The last time I preached here, it was just before lockdown last time. So I have enjoyed preaching at this church. Thank you very much. This will be my last offering. Let's pray. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you love us praying to you, you long for us to come to you in prayer, that you listen to our prayers, and that you are a God who loves us and wants to give us what is good. We just pray, Lord, as we look at your word now together, that you would move in our hearts, that you would show us what we need to see, and we ask this for your name's sake. Amen. Well, prayer is essential to the Christian life. The great Genevan reformer, John Calvin, wrote about prayer in one of his great big tomes. And one of the heading of the chapter is the way we receive the grace of Christ. The way we receive the grace of Christ. Prayer is the way we first become Christians. And it is the way by which, as Christians, we daily receive God's benefits. Those are big claims, aren't they? Wonderfully, he's given us the means of accessing him and of enjoying relationship, of enjoying communion with him. No national lockdown can stop that. Hold on to that in these next 4 weeks. No national lockdown can stop that. But if we stop using the means he has given us of coming to him, then we will struggle and drift as Christians. And so we come to our passage. When you pray, and this is my first heading, when you pray, come to him as you are. When you pray, come to him as you are. What we think God is like will affect how we approach him in prayer. And in our passage, Jesus starts by making it clear that God is not an impersonal God whom we need to impress when we pray. I'm sure many of you will know the series The Apprentice. You'll know that there are a whole number of participants who are all vying for a job with Alan Sugar, the businessman, at the end of the series. And at each series, in each episode, Alan Sugar fires one of them. And they're given tasks to do, and they try and impress him. He fires them episode after episode until one is left, and that contestant is the winner. Well, in verses 5 to 7 of our first reading, Jesus described people who seem to think that God is like Alan Sugar, someone they need to impress. In verse 5, they're standing on street corners to pray. Just picture that for a moment. If you're on a street corner, depending on how many streets are coming in, you can be seen from lots of different directions. It might be two directions, it might be three, it might be four. And in verse 7, those selfsame people are babbling away. They're using many words because they think that that is what will make God respond. They're trying to impress God, but he doesn't want to have his arm twisted. He doesn't want to be cajoled or manipulated. He doesn't require flawless recitation of certain phrases. He wants you to come as you are. You see, when praying, there is no need to perform. We are just us. We're not on The Apprentice. No, Jesus says, go into your room. Go into a space where you're comfortable and at ease. Go to a space where you feel relaxed and able to talk to your loving Father. I don't worry about using lots of words or the right words, because your Father knows what you need. Isn't that a relief? God knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. We can't pull the wool over his eyes, and we can be ultimately open and honest with him. We can be ultimately intimate with him. Jesus says to us, when you pray, come to God as you are. Yet we cannot come to God by ourselves. And that brings me to my next point. Come trusting in your brother Jesus. I wonder whether that's ever occurred to you. We can't come to God by ourselves. You know, I can never just come to God alone. Why is that? Well, God is holy and perfect, and we are not. Imagine trying to fly to the sun. You'd set off from the earth, and if you could travel at the speed of a commercial jet, which I think is about 550 miles an hour, it would take you about 19 years. I would, of course, defer to any physicist present. When you got close to the sun, it wouldn't take the brains of brilliant physicists to tell you that you would burn up. And in some respects, God is like the sun, and we're like the jet aeroplane. God is perfect and holy in every way, and we are not. We have much to be ashamed of, and we certainly don't live our lives for God as he deserves. If we approach God alone, we are like that jet aeroplane approaching the sun. We will come under his judgment for all of our sin and rebellion against him, and we won't survive. That's why the word "our" at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is vital. We don't approach God alone. We approach God with our brother Jesus. Have a look at verse 9. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, "This then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven." Jesus is calling his Father our Father. He is saying, God is my Father and your Father. He is our Father. That's staggering. Think of the difference between us and Jesus. Jesus is God's real and natural Son. We're not. We are creatures made by God. Jesus has been with God forever. We have not. Our lives are brief. Jesus came down to earth and lived a perfect life. Well, our lives are messy and sinful. We fundamentally want to live our lives our own way without God interfering. Jesus deserved God's glory. We deserve God's judgment. There is a staggering contrast between us and Jesus. So how could Jesus possibly be our brother? How is it that he can say our Father and include us in that? How is it that God can be both Jesus' Father and ours? Well, Jesus came to earth to do for people like you and me what was needed so that we could become God's adopted children. Now, Michael Gove is a well-known and controversial politician. Put politics out of your mind for a moment. The man who was named Graham after his birth in a Glasgow hospital was adopted when only a few months old by a family in Aberdeen. In a newspaper article he wrote of what his adopted parents went through to adopt him as their son and the sort of life he might have ended up living had they not done so. And very movingly, he says that he was given the most precious gift any child can have. Unconditional love, stability, and security. Jesus sacrificed his life so that we could be adopted into his family. He lived the life we failed to live. He died the death we deserve for our sins. And the moment we trust in Jesus, we become God's utterly loved adopted children. And we can call God our Father. So don't try to come to God by yourself. You can't. You and I can never approach God alone and on our own merit. Come trusting in our brother Jesus and say, our Father. But also come with Jesus' Spirit in you, in your heart. When we pray, we come to God our Father if we're trusting in Jesus our brother. But that's not all. God the Father and God the Son are not the only ones present. It's becoming quite crowded now, isn't it? God the Spirit is also present. He's so often missed out, but his role is essential to us becoming God's adopted children and to prayer. How is it then that we actually become God's adopted children? Well, when Michael Gove was adopted by his parents, the key was probably the signing a lot of documents and a court order. But when it comes to adoption by God, we become his children when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. In fact, Paul describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God's Son, Jesus. And then when the moment we put our trust in Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and we are adopted as God's children. Jesus becomes our brother, and it is the Spirit who gives us the desire to pray those words, our Father. So if you're praying to God, calling him Father, you are trusting in your brother Jesus, and his Spirit is dwelling in your heart. And because God's Spirit is in your heart, he knows it better than you know it yourself. Surgeons can do the most amazing things these days with tiny cameras. I understand that they can put cameras up blood vessels into people's hearts and look and see what is going on inside. And it is as though the Spirit is like one of those cameras permanently in our heart. And he's not a machine. He is God himself in your and my heart. He's permanently there. He knows your heart better than you know it. And Paul tells us in Romans that when we don't know what to pray for, well, the Spirit who is in our hearts prays for us. When we're weak and struggling and at our wit's end, and that might well be at times like this, he prays for us. He intercedes for us. And when it comes to the words of the Lord's Prayer, well, Jesus gave them to us as a pattern for praying. But it's a prayer which we can take line for line and use as a basis for our prayers. But when we're empty, when we don't know what to pray apart from those words, when all we can do is say, Father, well, remember that your brother's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is in you praying the very things that are needed. So come as you are. Come trusting in your brother. Come with your brother's spirit in you. Come to our Father. It's to say the work of the Son and the Spirit. It's through the work of the Son and the Spirit that you can pray our Father. And when you pray, you're not coming to some kind of angry schoolmaster figure who just about puts up with you. You come as an utterly forgiven and loved child of God. You come to a Father who loves you. Michael Gove described that unconditional love he enjoyed from his adopted parents. And if you want to know the love the Father has for you, just turn back a moment to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. And it's there we read of Jesus' baptism. There, God speaks to the world around Jesus and he says, "This is my Son whom I love." And God says the same words of you. "This is my Son whom I love. This is my daughter whom I love." Because of Jesus, when you or I pray our Father, we pray as adopted children, utterly forgiven and utterly loved. We pray to our Father who loves us unconditionally, and we pray to our Father who wants to give us what we need. But many of us treat him as a last resort. So we are bullied at school and are miserable, and we try to think how we can escape the bullying, but we don't pray to God. Or we have a terrible situation at work which keeps us awake at night, and yet we don't think to pray to God. We're faced with some awful problem we're struggling with, and we're slow to pray to God. And yet that passage in Matthew chapter 7 tells us that God wants to give us good things. Jesus says, "Look, if a human dad knows what's good for his children, how much more does your Father in heaven?" When Tamsin and I were on our honeymoon, we were students and we took a whole month driving all the way down to Naples, and my parents very generously lent us their car. In fact, my father was planning on selling it when we got back. You can guess where this is going, can't you? When we were in Naples, the car was not bumped into by a crazy Neapolitan. I managed to drive the car along the side of an oddly shaped olive tree and run a dent right the way down every panel along the side. And I rang my father from Italy and I said, "Dad, I'm really sorry. I explained what had happened." And my father's response will stay with me until my dying day. He said, "I think you've just got a bigger wedding present than we had planned." If my earthly father knows how to give good gifts to me, well, how much more does God the Father? And notice the passage doesn't say that he'll give you what you want. God's good gifts may well not be what you expect them to be. But we need to pick up the phone. We need to ask him. He is a Father who wants to give us good gifts. And that brings me finally to those words in heaven. He is our Father in heaven. He is both our Father and the sovereign God of the universe. And it's right we should declare that in praise. Praise God our Father that he is eternal. He is infinite. He is almighty. He is the sovereign God of the universe. It's right to declare it in praise, but it's also good to be reminded of the fact that we are praying to the eternal, infinite, almighty God. We can have full confidence that he listens and will answer our prayers. And so to conclude, speaking of the Trinity and prayer, C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia, of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and those Narnia Chronicles, and much more, he said the whole threefold life of the three personal being is actually going on in that ordinary little bedroom where an ordinary man is saying his prayers. It's great. Come, let me say it again. The whole threefold life, so all of the life of the three personal being of God, the Trinity, is actually going on in that ordinary little bedroom where an ordinary man or woman is saying his or her prayers. What a wonderful thought. How do you feel about praying Our Father in Heaven? How do you feel about coming to God just as you are? Nothing to hide, open, just... How do you feel about having a brother who paid the price for all your sin so that you could say with him, Our Father? How do you feel about the Holy Spirit having brought about your adoption as one of God's children, living in your heart and praying for you when you don't even know what to pray for? How do you feel about talking to your Father who knows all your faults and failings and yet has adopted you as his child and loves you unconditionally? Let's pray. Oh, our Father in Heaven, we praise you and thank you that we can call you our Father. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us that we might become your adopted children. We thank you for your Spirit who lives in our hearts, who brings about our adoption and prays prayers when we don't even know what to pray for. We thank you that you are our Father who loves us unconditionally in ways beyond ways in which we can imagine. Father, we praise you for that. And we pray that we would know you intimately in prayer. And we pray that particularly, Lord, at this time, this tough time, with all that's going on around us. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen.